Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Gillard here. Today is Thursday, April the 12th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And I am happy to report that I've been out twice in 2 days now getting my walks in, which I had not been able to do for quite some time because winter had decided to stick around a lot longer than most of us in the Northeast thought was a good idea for it, but it had other ideas, and I have to admit I was really trying to influence it real hard. I probably should have done that, but hey, I've been out the last couple of days, and boy, did that feel good.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit out of shape. Well, no, I'm a lot out of shape because I didn't get any walking in during the winter. I usually try to get out during the winter, and I didn't do that, so I'm really feeling it, but it's nice to get back out there. It's nice to, get the body moving again. Boy, does it help you with your mental attitude, you know?
You know, I was doing something for a friend the other day, which caused me basically to be bent over for an extended period of time. And the next day, my hamstrings and my butt, they were talking to me. But, I have to tell you, I like that feeling because that tells me my body knows that it's being engaged, and those symptoms just kind of are my reminder that, I haven't used these muscles in a while and I want to. So like when I was lying in bed this morning, I was doing all sorts of leg exercises. And so I like the feeling. I love just feeling my body respond.
That's a good thing. Cool. Yeah, I agree with you. In fact, I think I mentioned previously, I've been having a little trouble with my knees this winter. I think partly because of the lack of exercise. I think I actually pulled a ligament in one or both knees because I was having a lot of trouble with flexibility. But, you have to kind of walk through it. You have to let yourself heal, obviously. You do have to let yourself heal. And I've been doing a lot of that by, not going out for my walks. But I got to the point where I realized I needed to get out there. And if I, felt myself start to stiffen up or whatever, just kind of take it slow for a little bit. And each time that I've done that, I've had to go slow for a short period. And then I warm up. And then as I warm up, I can go more loose, more by normal gait, and everything's fine. So, am I pushing my joints and my muscles and so forth a little bit? Yeah, I am. But you know what? That's how you keep you keep them. You actually have to work them. In fact, I was reading up. I was doing some research about ligaments because I wanted to see, had I really pulled a ligament and, how do you get over it and all that kind of thing. One of the interesting things I found is that a lot of these things happen just because the major joints, the knees, the elbows, the wrists, the ankles, the neck, all the smaller joints on the fingers and toes and all that kind of stuff. All of those joints are basically bound together with your muscular structure. Kind of makes sense. And over time, if you aren't really using them well, everything kind of loosens up. And that's when you're most likely to have ligament injuries or even tendon injuries. And then furthermore, and this was really a surprise to me, if everything stays really loose and you don't do anything about it, that's when arthritis comes in. I said, whoa, okay, time to get out there and do the exercising. So I don't mind having a little bit of discomfort because I figure if I'm starting to pull all the muscles together and, tighten everything up again, that means I'm ensuring a nice, healthy continuation of my life the way I want it to be.
Well, and based on some of the conversation we had yesterday, every physical thing that occurs in our body that is uncomfortable is also a message from our broader self, from our inner being, letting us know that there's something that has been out of alignment in thoughts that requires some adjustment. And if we don't take care of it on our thought level, it will show up in our body.
Yeah, very true. So don't want it to show up in the body, so I'm going to use it. Use it or lose it, right? Well, I'm going to use it. So anyway, the other thing I should talk about, I haven't done a whole lot the last couple of days, but I have been working on the book, trying to stitch everything together, and I'm about 55, maybe 60% done. I'm not sure exactly what the percentage is, but it made a little progress, so that's good, and we're getting really close to having that all stitched together, and once that's together, we're really close to a launch, so going to be very exciting stuff.
But yay.
Yay, indeed. We have been talking, actually lately we've been going off on different tangents and had some really good topics to talk about, but Today we're getting back to the book, The Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings
yeah,
of Abraham.
I like ran out. Can you believe it? I like ran out for a day of stuff to talk about.
I know. It's like hard to believe. You know, are you feeling okay? Are you all right?
Oh, no, I'm feeling absolutely wonderful. And I was, you know, doing my normal thing this morning, laying in bed going, okay, what's new? What do we want to work on? And got to tell you, nothing major was popping, little teeny things, you know, so there was some movement, but when I say movement, I mean like some energy movement because there were a few new thoughts, but nothing of the major kind, you know, and I just kind of sensed all as well. Just keep focusing the way I focus and, you know, and really focusing on the positive stuff for Project X, Project B, and Project R, which is Project Relationship. Focusing on the positive is really helping to keep me from dwelling on any doubts, concerns, or worries. You know,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm doing that because I did notice a couple, you know, fearful things popped up the other day after we were talking on the show. And I was talking about the new dollar targets that I received
right.
from my infinite being,
yep.
Saying, you know, shoot for $30,000 a month. And I have to say the next day, and it felt great when we were talking and I was totally in alignment when we were on the show and it was just expanding. And then the next day when I was focusing on it, it was like, oh, that feels so unrealistic. That feels big. And I went, oh, well, that's an interesting thought. And so I just kind of asked, well, what do I do with this? Because I'm not in alignment right now. And so I just kind of sensed, do a little bridging exercises. Okay, that was a bad sentence. Do a bridging exercise. And so I went, okay, well, what do I do? And I kind of went with my standby, which is everything always works out for me. And so I just started there and just kind of was talking in my head, you know, well, everything always works out for me. You know, I received these targets, these dollar amounts from my inner being. So obviously, that means my inner being knows that this is possible. And even though it's not something I've done before, doesn't mean it can't happen. As a matter of fact, it means it's inevitable. And as long as I stay focused in the direction of the information I've been given, focus on these targets, it's going to happen. And so I just kind of kept talking to myself until I felt a release, like, okay, that was sufficient for now. I'm not in fear or doubt at the moment. And so then I just moved on to something else for the day. So.
And
then I didn't get anything specific today.
You kind of described it by example, but just to reiterate for us, describe what bridging is.
Bridging is like if you're in one state of being, in other words, if you feel negative about something that you want or you feel doubt, worry, or concern about actually manifesting and creating the thing you desire, then you start with statements or thoughts of where you are. And you move toward where you want to go. And you do it little by little, incrementally, so that every statement that is spoken or thought of is something that is very believable. And so it takes you from the state of doubt, worry, concern, where it feels unbelievable, and it moves me into a state of where it feels more believable.
Which is definitely where we need to be. So that's essentially getting yourself into that aligned state. And when you're in that aligned state, you feel better. You feel good. That's what alignment is.
Well, you know, and I was in the car today driving around doing some errands, and I was listening to Abraham in the car, and she, you know, Abraham was doing a rampage. And I realized that a rampage is literally bridging where you are to where you want to go.
Yeah.
Because Abraham was starting with the person in the hot seat with where he was and was making some kind of not positive, overly positive statements, but just kind of saying this is where he is, you know. But she was talking, Esther was talking in the first person as Abraham,
right.
You know, for this person, you know, and saying, well, I am feeling a bit of struggle, but you know, I can't get to where I want to go unless I let go of where I am. And right now I'm in struggle, but I know I want to let go of struggle. And you know, then Abraham kind of went on for about 5 minutes. And, you know, one way they used to talk about years ago was changing your story.
Right.
And whether we call it a rampage, changing the story, or bridging thoughts, they're really all the same thing.
Yeah.
But the idea is to move from one vibrational space to a more positive one.
And you do it one little small step at a time. So I'm not feeling great, but on the other hand, I know I can feel better. And let's see, how do I get to feel better? Well, I'm not really sure how to do that right now. But I do know that if I do X, that feels better. So I'll go for X right now. Now that I'm thinking about X, now I'm going to go for Y, which is even higher up on the scale. That feels better, and you just kind of work your way up.
And I'll be honest, and I mean, this is just my own personal verbiage. I rarely, if ever, think about things in terms of I'm working my way up the scale, or I'm trying to raise my vibration, or I want to get into a better vibration. I'm always focused on the feelings.
Yeah.
I'm at this feeling and I want to get to this feeling. And I just kind of work sentences that feel believable to me as I go there.
Well, it's a lot simpler that way. I mean, vibration, that's always a little bit of a complexity anyway. It wasn't until I had someone explain to me that vibration meant, how I was feeling, I said, oh, okay, now I get it. And I wondered, why didn't they just call it feeling? That's what we call it here on
Exactly,
Earth, you know?
exactly. And so
Instead.
to me, it's just a little less complicated. I know what a feeling is and I know what a feeling feels like. And since that's the marker that I use in my life, which is how I feel at any given point, I'm paying attention to how I feel as I'm making these new statements.
Which ties in, of
And that's
course, as it always does, directly into the book, because the subsection we're on is entitled, This Civilized Society Seems Short on Joy. Well, I wonder how we're going to get there.
Wow. You know what? Let's see. Not that it matters. I was going to say, I still have us on the page before where it says, will universal laws work without my belief?
Oh, I'm pretty sure we had done that one. I've taken to marking the page to the side so that I always know it's pointing to which subset we're on. But maybe,
Me too.
let's see, did we talk about this? Let's see. I'm reading through. Functioning. So you're playing the game. I thought we did actually do this. I'm going to think about that subject game more. In that moment, you're thinking subject, so he's thinking of something else. Well, we could do it again. I mean, it's not like we take hours and hours to go through it. These are pretty short
Okay.
sessions. Do you want to do them again? Let's do them again.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So we're going to back up. This is the Wayback Machine. So we're
So we're in a time machine
in a time
because
machine.
Walt believes we've done it. I believe we don't or haven't. And sometimes I go into amnesia. And we both put our bookmarker in a different place.
So welcome to amnesia mode. And in this mode, we're going to read about a subsection that's entitled, Will Universal Laws Work Without My Belief? So I'll play Jerry and you'll play Abraham. That sound good? Okay. So Jerry says, Abraham, tell me these laws that you speak of, these universal laws, do they work even if we don't believe that they work?
And Abraham said, they do indeed. You are offering vibration even when you do not know you're doing it. That is why there is such thing as creating by default. You cannot turn your creative mechanism off. It is always functioning, and the laws are always responding. That is why there is such value in understanding the laws. Not understanding them is a little like coming into a game where you do not know the rules. And so, as you are playing the game, you do not understand why you are getting what you're getting. And that sort of game becomes frustrating, and most want to leave it. Oh, I guess you want to leave the game when you don't understand it and
Right,
you're
exactly.
frustrated. That makes sense.
And I do remember when I was a kid wondering, talking with one of my friends, and we were commiserating about how crazy life was and so forth. And I remember commiserating and saying, why doesn't life come with a rule book? Well, it sounds like Abraham agrees there should have been a rule book. Well, not really, but that's kind of what they're hinting at metaphorically here, that it does make a lot of difference when you know what the rules of the game are. And I have to say,
Absolutely.
once I understood the law of attraction, actually, more precisely, once I understood it and got past my initial doubt and general reserve saying, well, I'm not so sure that's true. Once I got past that, I was very grateful for knowing what the rules of the game are.
Speaking of the rules of the game, yesterday after the show was over, you and I were talking, and one of the things you brought up was that you expect and hope that one day science scientists will be able to like understand the things that we're understanding via the law of attraction.
Oh, yeah.
And that they would actually, quote, discover the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll probably call it something else, but that's all right.
I'm sorry. You what?
But I said they'll probably call it something else because that's what scientists do.
Oh, that's okay. Probably. Well, the other, I guess about a week ago, I was flipping through channels on TV and I saw something with Stephen Hawking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something like, you know, why are we here?
Okay.
And so I realized it was a series. And so I missed, I don't know if they've done a whole bunch of them and I've missed a bunch, but I like said, okay, let's just record the series. So I watched an episode last night and I was very fascinated because in a sense, I believe what he's working on, you know, the theories that he's coming up with are helping to support some of what we know with law of attraction. Now, there was actually one person who actually used the word law of attraction, but I don't think they were using it the way we're using it. They were just talking about a law of attraction, you know, okay. And how things are attracted to one another. Hmm. But some of the experiments they were doing, they were using magnets and magnetizing things to have attraction. And what I got from just this one episode, which to me was fascinating, well, two things. One, I thought, okay, this kind of mirrors what Walt was talking about, and I was really focused on it. So that's why I believe it came into my world yesterday and why I chose to watch it yesterday.
Okay.
The second thing is what they had surmised based on the experiments that they've done is that there are specific laws of the universe that are consistent and always the same. They never change, just like law of gravity always works the way it does. And there were other, a bunch of other laws, they call them laws of nature, that always exist and they always respond the same way every single time. And then, and Stephen Hawking was asking the question, well, if laws of nature always respond the same way, does that mean that everything in our life is predestined? And so then the next set of experiments had to do with subatomic particles. And I'm literally just using the words because it's not like I even understand the science behind it.
Okay.
But that he was just saying on a subatomic level, there is such a randomness that if you do the same thing over and over, you don't necessarily get the same result. So mm-hmm. there is a randomness within our nature. That is different from certain universal laws that always respond the same. And so then he was talking about, and I thought this was fascinating. He's saying, so where he's concluding so far or what he's gotten to at this point is that we all come into this life and we have choice. And there are certain things that are governed by universal laws that will always respond the same way. And my brain was going, law of attraction is one of those. But we, as humans, have choice. And that's kind of the randomness. Like we make a choice and there are certain laws that maybe are at work, but it's not like we were predisposed to having to make the choices that we make. Mm-hmm. And what I surmised from this is I was appreciative that science at least has come to that level
mm-hmm,
of
sure.
understanding
yeah.
that there is not just a predisposed thing. We all just show up and like automaton robots, we're always going to get the same result, but we have choice. However, there are universal laws that continually respond in the same way. And even though he didn't talk specifically about law of attraction, I was thinking, and that's one of those laws that always responds the same way. So
that's
thank
fun.
You, Walt, for thinking about that question yesterday and putting it into my universe.
Yeah.
So that when I watched the program, instead of just having it on in the background, I stopped what I was doing and I paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt richer for having paid attention.
I'm curious to know, and you may discover this as you watch, you know, the rest of the series. I don't know how much of it you watched, but I'm curious to know if he brings up the observer phenomenon, which was one of the main phenomena early on in the development of quantum physics and the observer.
I think that was part of the one that I just saw the tail end,
it was.
But
oh,
I didn't
okay.
get the fullness of it.
Okay.
So I think that was like part of the stuff, but now I'm really curious to see, you know, I don't even know how many more episodes there are in the series. I know there's at least one more that's been recorded, but you know, to me, it's just, it's very fascinating.
It is, sure.
You know?
Well, the only reason I brought that up is, I mean, you mentioned how there was a randomness, or he said there was a randomness to the universe. And that, to me, is one of the key methods that scientists have used to avoid the more woo-woo side of things, the law of attraction side of things, because it's much more comfortable to talk in term from a scientific point of view, from a scientist's point of view, to talk about just a randomness than it is to start getting into stuff that might have like a spiritual side to it. And so the randomness theory is useful for that. And that's why I was curious to know whether he brought up the observer phenomenon, because the observer phenomenon, that starts moving more and more toward the spiritual realm, although he may not see it that way. But that's definitely the way I see it. So I was just curious to see if he's going to do that, because if he does, that's even one more small baby step in the right direction.
Well, and you know, I wasn't aware of this, but Stephen Hawking passed away this year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He was. He had an amazing life in the sense that I think he survived 52 years with Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean, that's a disease that usually kills you in a year or two. His lifetime was phenomenal. Of course, he had resources that other people didn't have that are absolutely essential to surviving with that disease. But he managed to survive that long. That was really remarkable.
And obviously, this series was recorded before, you know, he passed.
Right.
So I don't know how long this series has been around, but I'll bet there are scientific papers written on this. But because I'm not in the scientific world, it's not like the information comes to me first.
Right.
And, you know, if it made the broadcast news, I don't watch broadcast news either.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I was thrilled to have just kind of stumbled upon this, and yet nothing's an accident. So I think I stumbled upon it, but I know I was led to stumble upon it.
Yeah, I would say it's probably true.
Yeah.
Now, when we look at the book, I don't think this is a question that Stephen Hawking asked, but it's a good one anyway.
Okay.
The question is, how do I not get what I don't want? That doesn't sound like a Hawking question.
How do I not get
what I don't want? So Jerry asks, okay, Abraham, how would you tell people how to not get what they don't want?
And Abraham says, do not think about what you do not want.
That's a good idea.
Do not give thought to that which you do not want, for the attention, for your attention to it attracts it. The more you think about it, the more powerful your thoughts become, and the more emotion comes forth. However, when you say, I'm not going to think about that subject anymore, in that moment, you are still thinking about that subject. So the key is to think about something else, something that you do want. And with practice, you'll be able to tell by the way you feel if you are thinking about something wanted or unwanted.
Something like what Joel and I were talking about this morning, and Cindy also with me yesterday, we were talking about how it's so easy for human beings to talk about what, especially where something political is involved or something where there are stances of any kind, it's very easy to talk about what they're against.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to explain that. But it's very difficult for most people to explain what they favor. And if you ask them to describe what they favor, they 9 times out of 10 will describe it in terms of being what they're against. I'm not in favor of that.
Yeah, almost every client I've ever had, when I ask them the question, well, what is it that you do want? They almost always start out with what they don't want.
Right.
Because it's real, like you said, it's very hard to define sometimes what it is you prefer. But you sure know that when you're experiencing something unpleasant, you know that one you don't want.
That's right. Yes, we're really good at that
one. But you don't always know like what you prefer. Because sometimes what we're experiencing, it's not as simple as just saying, I want the opposite of this. You know, and so sometimes it takes a little while to, in Abraham terms, sift and sort through life experience to get more clarity on what it is you do want.
And in fact, that's actually one reason why people say, well, what I want is to not have that.
Yeah, well, and I had an experience with that yesterday, being that, you know, I'm very tech savvy. I have studied email marketing for years now. I know how to build a list. I know how to build a website. You know, I know all sorts of marketing tips and tricks. I know a little bit of SEO. Don't shoot me for saying that because I know you don't like
no,
SEO.
No, I won't do
but
that.
But it's like, but it's like in my span of learning, I've learned a lot of things. And, you know, one of the things many internet marketers do, and I mean, anybody in any industry uses network marketing, you know, to sell their products and tools. And I was looking at some stuff yesterday. I was looking at some other coaches that do law of attraction coaching. And I ran into this one website that, you know, like the moment you click on the website, boom, it launches like this video. Mm-hmm. And so, which by the way, is not my preference because
no,
I think
neither.
It's kind of rude to like throw that in people's faces because it's like, oh my God, where's my volume control? Because it's too loud.
I agree with you entirely.
But, you know, I just out of curiosity, you know, just watched the first part. And this is the information that came to me as I didn't realize, if you will, that this was a sifting and sorting moment. But I went, what is it about this that bothers me? Hmm. Because I felt the content was totally accurate. Hmm. And I have no issue with competition because I don't believe there is such thing as competition. So it's not like, oh man, this law of attraction coach got to the marketplace with her stuff before I did. None of that. I was like, what is it about this that bothers me? And I had this sense that I've been having a feeling for a while every time I see somebody's course or strategies or, you know, you need to follow these 12 steps. And I was reading reviews saying, oh my God, this particular program was so helpful. And I'm like, it's definitely working. What? Why would I have any objection? And as I was asking this question, the clarity I was getting, because I'm sifting and sorting through life experience, was that's not what you're going to be doing. In other words, mm-hmm. if I were to create a program, I certainly have the knowledge. I certainly have the experience. I know how to create programs. I could create a package, you know, or a program of how to utilize the law of attraction in a way that would really be helpful to people. And people have asked me for that. And normally in internet marketing, when customers are asking, that's how you know what to produce.
Right.
And yet it has not felt good to me to do so. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what am I hiding behind something or am I trying to avoid something? And I'm getting no. And so yesterday, and I've been asking these questions over the series of maybe the last year or so.
Wow.
But yesterday, I felt like I really got some clarity, which is that's not your style.
Mm-hmm.
My style is working with people one-on-one and customizing something for them. So like, for example, I was working with a client yesterday and, you know, we've been working, you know, several sessions a week. So yesterday wasn't like the first session. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how I've been working with her. And I realized how I've worked with her is different than how I've worked with anybody else. Because she came to me and basically said, here I am, and I want to know more about law of attraction and how it could work for me. And so I'm taking her life experiences and her questions and customizing something for her in the moment. And when she told me, she said, oh my gosh, Wendy, the stuff that you told me in our last session, I have been so utilizing that. And it's like, I get it. I didn't really get it when you said it to me, but I'm really getting it. And she goes, I'm even seeing how to use it in other parts of my life outside of just the one example you gave me.
Nice.
And when she said that, I'm like, that's exactly what I want. That's my desire, because I believe you can teach a principle in any part of your life and then expand it to practically every part of your life.
Sure.
But what I was recognizing again last night as I'm listening to this, you know, presentation by another coach, I realized there are plenty of law of attraction coaches that have programs. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that my clients shouldn't, you know, use some of them. But why people come to me specifically is because they've sifted and sorted through all the programs and can't find exactly what they need right now. And that's kind of what I do. I help them figure out exactly what they need right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Instead of getting a program that's a little bit one size fits all, because it needs to have a broad appeal to many people. And again, no disrespect to anybody who has a program. I have certainly bought my share of them and have benefited wonderfully. But what it helped me do was recognize I've been trying for a long time to fit myself into the model of what other law of attraction coaches have done, and almost, and really sometimes made myself wrong and felt bad. Like, why are you not creating a program, Wendy? You know, you have the ability to do so. And last night, I feel like I got the clarity of the answer, because that's not the right direction for me.
That's a good answer.
Not my special sauce, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a very good answer.
And so that's the sifting and sorting that we go through. That's like, there's the wanted and the unwanted. And I figured out yesterday what I don't want. I don't want to create a law of attraction program. That's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's good. Like, huh, that was incredible value in knowing what I don't want, because finally I have the clarity of what I do want.
Yes.
I want to continue to give customized coaching to my clients. Period. End of report. It's like, wow, love that.
Yeah.
Love how law of attraction provides that information. And I love that that's what our life is meant to be, is a sifting and sorting of our experiences, so that we can choose what we like and what we don't like. And it's not because there's any authority, even on a spiritual level, telling me this is what you're supposed to do. Because there is no supposed to. Life is all about our own choosing.
It's very similar to the thought process I went through when I was first deciding how to set things up on the LOA Today website. Because I could set things up so that, there are a couple of ways you can access the shows. First of all, you can listen to the player live on the homepage when we're doing a live broadcast. But there's also the feed that you can subscribe to, which, by the way, if you haven't subscribed, please do subscribe. It's right there on the homepage how to do it. But that feed is basically just a podcast feed, and it goes into your podcast software on whatever device you're using. And so that way you can, you know, play any of the shows that you want to play, or all of them. But there's also another possibility. With the website, you can also go to the given page where I stored the description about that particular episode. And I could set that up so that when you land on that page, the episode starts playing automatically. I chose not to do that. And for me, the reasoning was simplicity itself. I don't want to take the power away from the visitor. The whole point of doing a podcast on LOA Today on the subject of the law of attraction, from my perspective, is for me primarily so that I can enjoy the activity of doing it, but also secondarily so that the listener can, if they so choose, you know, follow along, maybe learn some stuff, maybe practice some stuff themselves, and thereby empower themselves to take more control of their life. Well, then the last thing I want to do is take the power away from them and say, you're going to listen whether you want to or not.
Well said.
So that's why I don't do that kind of thing. I think that, you know, I know when I show up on a web page, I don't want somebody just playing a video at me, because for me, actually, believe it or not, most of the time I don't watch a video when I go to a web page. I do occasionally, but not most of the time. Most of the time I'd rather read about something. So they made a false assumption about me. They assumed I wanted to watch the video. Actually, I didn't. I just wanted to read.
Well, and you know, there's another very prominent strategy used by internet marketers, which is to have pop-up windows.
Oh, I hate
and
those.
So you're on the page sometimes immediately, sometimes you're there for 10 seconds, but whatever it is, this pop-up window shows up and it says, hey, do you want to be part of my, you know, blah, 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 and you'll get 10% off, or blah, 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 fill in this information, give me your email address.
Yep.
Well, so there's a site that I use quite often where I purchase organic meats.
Yep.
And I have been purchasing from them for probably 2 years now. But the site doesn't recognize me as an avid customer already.
Oh, no.
And so every time I flip to, okay, now I want to look at beef, now I want to look at chicken, now I want to look at another something, that pop-up window shows up. And I thought, you know, and I'm not angry at them, but in my sifting and sorting, as I was going through whether I wasn't sure if I wanted to place an order or not, I thought, you know what? These pop-up windows, even though this is a very popular internet marketing style, and it came around, and I remember the thought process, which is, this will get more people added to your list because you're putting it right in front of them.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? Like you were saying about you want to give the people who come to loatoday.net a choice about how they want to navigate our site. Are they ready to listen to something right now? Or do they just want to look around? And you want to give them choice. Well, I want to do that for people on my website as well. And I believe if people are truly interested in wanting more from me, they will notice on the right rail of my, you know, website on many of the pages, there's a place that they can, you know, provide their email address and I'll send them something free.
Right.
But I don't want to put it in their face in a way that's obnoxious, because why would I do to someone else what I despise having done to me?
Exactly.
That would be a complete incongruence.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I totally believe that there are probably people that that feels like a good thing to do. And if it's congruent for them, it's probably getting them really good results. But it's not congruent for me because I don't like it. So I'm not going to do it for people I know. And yes, do I know how to set up a pop-up window? Yes. Do I have the technology? Yes. Am I going to do it? No.
You and me both. You and me both.
But that's part of the sifting and sorting. And it I is. Got really clear yesterday. Even though I've had it drilled in my head for years as I've studied this stuff, that this is the thing to do, I went, oh, just because it's the thing that I've been taught, I still get to choose. And I got really clear yesterday, and I went, I choose no pop-ups. And I went, wow, I got two pieces of clarity yesterday about my business and my website, which is I'm not creating a program for people to buy. And I'm also not creating pop-ups.
That's
like,
very good.
Huh. And for a long time, Walt, I was one of the people who I didn't really know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I have the ability to coach people, but I didn't want to have a full day of coaching 40 hours a week. I figured I'd go out of my mind because coaching requires a lot of energy.
Oh, it does.
To be very present and to listen and to be tuning into my infinite being and getting information. And so I knew that wasn't something I wanted to do 40 hours a week, but I'm like, but what do I want to do? And what do I call it? And, you know, in my world, some people I've worked with, one of my dear friends, she labeled it. She's like, one day we were talking and she goes, can you do for me, you know, that thing that you do? And I just laughed. And every time we talk and she wanted me to like tap into my inner being on her behalf and get help her with wisdom or guidance or transformational work or whatever, she goes, could you just do the thing that Wendy does? And so that's kind of like, that's my catchphrase. I don't have a title, but I can go, I know I do something. And people feel like they've had an experience like none other, but we don't know what to call it. It's just that thing that Wendy does. And according to everything I've learned, I need a label. I need a title. And I'm like, who said? All these other people. Well, guess what? I don't have a title. I mean, I kind of do. I kind of don't. You know, I'm a law of attraction coach, teacher, expert. It changes depending on the day of the week. But I have to say that thing that Wendy does probably describes what I do better than anything. And I know that those that are attracted to me will not be offended that I don't have a title that helps them really understand it. Because I want people to resonate with me.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I want someone to either listen to the show and go, I don't know what the heck she's talking about, but I want her. I know she can help me. You know, that's who I want as my clients. And so I just love the sifting and sorting because that's what we're talking about. You know, we start with what we don't want. And eventually we can work our way toward knowing what we do want.
And that's what we want to do. We want to be working in that direction. In fact, yes. I would say that what holds people back, particularly those who don't know law of attraction, is that they stay in point A, they never get to point B, which is kind of what the next section is about. Because this is the one that I thought we were starting off with, but now it's the third one. So we got here. That's the main thing. But the subsection, this civilized society seems short on joy, that kind of taps right into it. Jerry says, we live in what I call a very civilized society. I think a lot of people would call it that. And in economical and material aspects, we are doing relatively well. Yet, I don't see much joy in the people around me on the streets and in the businesses, and so on and so forth. Is that because of those factors that you speak about, that they have very little desire but a strong belief?
And Abraham responds by saying, most people offer the majority of their vibration in response to what they are observing. And so when they observe something that makes them feel good, they feel joy. But when they observe something that makes them feel bad, they simply do not feel joy. And most people do not believe that they have any control over the way they feel because they cannot manage to gain control over the conditions to which they've been having these feeling responses. It is their belief in the lack of control of their own experience that is most responsible for the absence of joy that you are noticing. And we must remind you that if you continue to notice their lack of joy, yours will be gone as well.
Good point. That last one, good point. We don't want to spend a lot of time on that.
Well, let's talk about that one a little bit, because that is a really, I think that's a huge point.
Yeah, it is.
Worth discussion.
Very much. Well, first of all, the idea that we often have this belief in the lack of control of our own experience. I think many of us, perhaps most of us who have not yet been exposed to law of attraction, and even many of us who have been exposed to it, have that belief. We kind of all start from that belief because we believe that reality is, right? Reality is, and you just can't change it. And so you are subject to whatever happens in that reality. So the idea that we actually can, first of all, the idea that we can decide what our reaction is going to be, that's like revolutionary. And then the idea that not only can we decide what our reaction is going to be, but through that reaction and through that focus, we can actually influence the reality. That one's like so mind-bending that, you know, a lot of people throw the book down and say, forget this. This is nonsense.
Well, you know, you and I both are people that have made choices not to watch the news.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there was a time in my life when I was watching the news. It didn't feel good to me. I would discuss it with my friends about how, oh, my God, there's nothing good on the news. But we all continue to watch the news. And then, you know, many years later, I had a different level of awareness while I was watching the news and not feeling good while watching the news. All of a sudden I went, oh my God, every time I watch the news, I end up feeling bad afterwards. Mm. Thank God at the time, like Johnny Carson or, you know, some other late night talk show that had a lot of comedy relief. Thank God that was on after the news because it buoyed me back up to feeling better before I went back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Before I went to bed.
Right.
But then I started thinking, well, if the news doesn't make me feel good, why do I keep watching the news? And then I went to, because I think I need to watch the news. This is how I stay connected to what's going on in the world. And if I am not connected to what's going on in the world, how will I have things to talk about with other people? Or how will I know? What if there's something important I need to know? And even at this point in this evolution, when I think about it now, it feels a little bit ludicrous. But I feel as though I was simply following what I'd been trained to do. Everybody watches the late night news. That's just the way it's always been. My grandparents watch the late night news. My parents watch the late night news. So, you know, kind of growing up, it's like, hey, when I could stay up late enough to watch the late night news, it made me feel like I was an adult. I was being a citizen of the United States, you know, practicing adulthood by staying connected to the world because the way people did it was through watching late night news. And so that kind of indoctrination is very powerful. And it takes a real inquisitive mind, and I would say a strong personal constitution, not in the United States, but in your own self and your own character, to be willing to challenge something that, quote, everybody does. And so when I challenged the idea of watching the news, why do I watch the news? Who said I have to watch the news? And what if I stopped watching the news? Would I be arrested? No. I can't be thrown in jail for this. What negative things could happen? What positive things could happen? And I went, could I even handle not watching the news? Would I go through withdrawal? You know, and I did for a little while. But then little by little, I stopped watching it. But I was still listening to the news on the radio when I was driving to work. So I wasn't getting as much news, but I was still getting some news. And then over time, I realized, you know what? I don't like the news on the radio either. It's just as bad. And in a way, it's worse because I would listen during drive time because I wanted to know what the traffic report was. So they would loop the same news loop like every 8 minutes. And I'm like, I don't like this either. So then I started thinking to myself, well, I, in my area, traffic came in on the 8th. You know, at like 7:08, 7:18, 7:28. And I thought, what if I listened to something good, like a CD, and then as soon as I saw the 8s coming up, then I flipped over to the news and just listened to what I needed on traffic. And I started doing that. But, you know, I'm kind of almost getting off topic. But to me, there is such an indoctrination that many of us have experienced in many ways of how we live life. And if we don't ever challenge the things that we have been indoctrinated by, we don't even realize we are at choice to change and do something different. And so I know one of the things that I've been saying for years is challenge everything, question everything, have a curious mind. Don't just accept that you do things the way you've been doing things because you've always done them this way. Be willing to ask, why am I doing this? And if you get a really good, satisfying answer, then by all means, keep doing it. But if you start to get an answer that's not so satisfying or causes you to go, yeah, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Keep asking questions until you get a good answer.
Yeah, that's a good approach. It kind of makes me think that there ought to be like a Saturday Night Live skit. And because I haven't kept up with the actors on Saturday Night Live for a long, long time, I'm going to go back to the original cast. So I'm just imagining Dan Aykroyd walking in and saying, walking into a room dressed up in a uniform and saying, this is a news bust. It has come to our attention you are not watching enough news, so we are now going to turn on the TV and we're going to force you to watch the news that you have very insidiously avoided watching. And then they're locking the heads in place at the television, right, as the news plays. And then you hear Aykroyd saying something like, now pay close attention, there will be a quiz.
Yeah, and I can hear the quiz. So, in the first 15 minutes, did you watch one murder, two murders, or three murders? Were there any kidnappings within the first segment of the new show?
Name the first two politicians that come to mind who are under investigation.
See, you and I have not even watched the news for years, and yet we pretty much know what's on there. You know how I know that I know what I need to know? Because I watch enough television programming of things that I enjoy that are back to back with the news. And there's always a news trailer that's in the commercials. And as I'm fast forwarding through commercials, when you get to that last little thing of the news trailer, I know that that's right before the show comes back on. And so I end up watching those little clips. And so it's like, I know what's going on. I know who's been murdered and, you know, the horrible things that have happened in my area. Just by watching a television teaser.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, thank God that I'm watching this program, you know, a week after it aired, so I can't really see that now on TV. Even if I tuned into the news, it's over.
In fact, here in the U.S., that's where we get one of our most famous phrases, blah, 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 film at 11. Right?
Yeah,
it's practically indelibly imprinted on every mind in the entire United States. Film at 11.
And if you're like me in Central Time, it's film at 10.
Well, there you go. Okay, there you go. Right. So, mm-hmm. Let's see, we've got about 10 minutes left. We got time for another one. These are kind of short, aren't
yeah,
they?
Let's do the next yeah. section.
Okay, so the next one is, I want to want with more passion. Now, that sounds a little bit better. So Jerry says, you've also said that if our wanting is passionate, our belief doesn't need to be so strong. So how would we go about building a passionate desire into the workshop that you speak of?
And Abraham says, there must be a beginning place for all things. In other words, many who are interacting with us say, Abraham, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know what I want. And so we say, begin by stating, I want to know what I want. For in setting forth the statement, you'll become a magnet that will attract all sorts of data from which you can make your decision. Then in italics, it says, begin somewhere and let the law of attraction deliver unto you examples and choices. And then the more you think about those choices, the more passionate you will be. Then the italics ends and they go on to say, attention to any subject will cause it to grow stronger, and the emotion will therefore increase as well. When you think about what you want and you continue to add details to the picture, those thoughts grow stronger. But when you think about something that you desire, but then you think about how it's not yet coming, and then you think about how much fun it'll be to have it, but then you remember that it costs a great deal of money and you cannot yet afford it, that back and forth thinking dilutes your passion and slows the power of your thought.
It does indeed. I can say that from experience.
Oh my gosh, totally. I've done it multiple. I think I did. I caught myself doing it yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really easy to go back and forth. But you know, the point in here, which was kind of the beginning, is when they say, start by stating, I want to know what I want.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that I do quite often by when I don't know what's up, when I don't know what to do next, when I don't even know where to begin, you know, bridging where I am to where I want to go. I'll just ask my inner being, where do I begin? Give me a thought, you know, give me a starting point, because I don't even have a clue. And, you know, usually something will come to me. It's like if I just keep talking long enough, even in my own head, me by myself, eventually something will start rolling.
It's true. And I've actually used that more and more. I have found one pitfall with it. And I'm curious to know whether or not you've run into it. The pitfall I've run into is I will often ask, what is it that I really want? Usually in some context. And then later on, I can't remember what the question was. What was I asking about? I don't even remember. I know I asked, what is it that I want, but I can't remember what I was asking about. Do you ever get that?
Well, I'm not quite sure how to answer. So when you go, I don't even know what I wanted, how are you triggered to ask that question?
Well, like there's usually some sort of context. So I'll make one up. Let's say the context is I want to have more money. Okay, and let's say that in that context, I know that I want to do something with my hands, but I don't know what to do. Okay, so I want to have some idea. Give me an idea of what I want to do with my hands. And then a day later, I say to myself, I know I wanted to have something to do about, you know, learning how or figuring out how to track more money, but I can't remember what the context was. I forgot the hands part. I couldn't remember that part. Does that make sense?
Maybe I'm lost in your illustration. I didn't understand the hands thing.
Well, the hands was just, the whole purpose of the hands was to say, I want to be doing work with my hands. I want to attract money by doing work with my hands.
Okay.
And then later I forgot. Has that happened
to me? Well, I would say that there are plenty of times I ask questions and then I don't even remember that I asked the question. And then if the answer came, I just am happy to have new insight. But I don't necessarily know in the moment whether it was actually an answer to a question I've asked.
So basically just go with the insight, which makes sense.
Yeah.
That way I'll probably stop driving myself crazy trying to remember what it was that I was trying to attract.
Oh, put it this way, Walt. I could not possibly keep track, or I choose not to keep track of how many questions and what questions I ask. I ask a lot of questions.
Okay.
I am a continual question asker. I think it was in 1995 or 96, I heard Tony Robbins say, The quality of your life is determined by the quality of questions you ask.
I can see that. I can buy that.
And that, and he had, you know, he did like a whole 2-hour presentation on asking questions. And that really lit a fire under me in terms of questions. I was already a natural question asker, but I took it up a level that, like, I ask questions constantly.
Mm.
And so that's why I don't know how many questions I ask, nor do I even remember what they all are. But when I receive new insight, I take it and go.
Yeah, I can see that.
And sometimes I go, oh, you know, I was asking about this. And other times I don't, and I figure it somehow fits into what I've been asking on a on an unconscious level, and it's in my vortex, and so it's all good.
Well, it reminds me of the fact, I mean, I'm kind of feeling relaxed now that I don't have to keep track of all the questions, because I don't normally try to anyway, and that's a good thing, because like you, I'm also a question asker. For me, I got it from my dad. I got it particularly when we would do family trips, and we even did some cross-country family trips, camping and all that kind of stuff. And during the process of doing the camping, and as we would travel along and we're looking for directions, we're trying to figure stuff out, or even if we're just out shopping for stuff, whatever it might be, my dad was an expert at just coming up with question after question after question. So he'd just keep questioning and questioning and questioning until he felt he had a complete idea of the picture of whatever it was he was asking about. So I learned that from him, and it's a great thing to do, because the more questions you ask, the more you fill in the gaps. You're basically looking for pieces of data for that picture they're putting together. And as you put the picture together, it becomes more and more clear. So you're right. I'm glad I don't really need to try to remember what the questions are, because I'd go nuts if I had to.
Yeah. Just enjoy the insight as it comes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The way I like to look at it.
And that's actually the next thing that I'm working on, is trying to
learn that. I also know that what you were talking about with your dad, asking lots of questions until he got a clear picture of what he was going for.
Right.
Is also a really important thing when it comes to law of attraction, because if you're really vague, you get back a really vague response.
Sure. Yeah.
And sometimes if you even get the response, you're like, I don't even know what to do with that. And there are times that a vague response is all you're ready for, because what you desire is still in such a vague place, you don't even know how to ask more specifically. But when your belief of whatever is happening for you in a general way becomes more solid and more strong, then you can begin to ask questions that are a little bit more specific.
Yeah, and it keeps growing. It keeps building on itself as time goes on. The more specific you become, the more clear the picture becomes, the more information you ask for, and it just keeps filling in.
And, you know, for me, it was fascinating, because on my Project X, I was asking such specific questions from day one, and we're talking day one was like years and years and years ago, and I got nowhere, because my specificity was something I didn't even have any kind of belief to support that specificity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let me use one of my dad's favorite examples. Okay, here's a job. According to the classified ad, it says that I can earn $100,000 per client. And then he would say, oh my gosh, I only need one client a year. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that job, and I only need one client a year. And he'd get really excited about it. But then I would say, how do you know how to find that one client?
Mm.
And he'd just go, you get all mad at me, like you're busting my balloon, you know?
Mm.
Well, the truth is, if I would have left my dad alone, and he could have just stayed in the general picture of, I only need one client a year, if he would have milked that and let that become so real for him, law of attraction would have started to show him where to look for that one client.
That's a good way to end this, because we're out of time, unfortunately. But that's a good ending point right there. Before we leave, how does somebody reach out to you if they need some help?
At my website, wendydillard.com.
And that's a great way to leave it. Wendy, it's been a pleasure. Let's do it again tomorrow.
All right.
And we'll invite you back as well next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.